And good morning, friends. Welcome. Happy Tuesday. I hope this day is off to a wonderful start for you wherever you happen to be. Welcome to Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. At Keep Believing, we like to say that our name is our mission. We want to help you believe in Jesus, and then in these chaotic, strange times in which we are living, find the courage, strength, and optimistic faith to keep on believing in Him. So it's Tuesday. It's May the 3rd, first of all. It's hard to believe we're in the month of May already, but then there it is. This is National Garden Meditation Day. Okay, take a walk, spring day. Nice weather, meditate in the garden. We're good with that. It's also National Join Hands Day. I do not know what that means. I can remember 36 years ago, 1986, when a few million of us did that Hands Across America thing and joined hands for 30 seconds or so, and I was supposed to do something, and I don't know whether it did anything or not, but this is National Join Hands Day. Then it is also, and I got to say, I do love this title. This is National Lumpy Rug Day. Lumpy Rug Day. You say, what kind of day is that? Well, I think it's to remind us we've been sweeping too many things under the rug, and that's why it's lumpy. Okay, so true. And then my personal favorite, this is National Chocolate Custard Day. I wish to go on record, take a strong stand here. I am extremely in favor of National Chocolate Custard Day. It's a wonderful idea. Oh, hey, just a reminder that if you want to listen to this program again or any of our programs, very easy for you to do. Surf on over to afr.net, afr.net. At the top, you'll see the little link that says podcast. Click on it, then come all the way down to Keep Believing. Click on that. And this program, all of our programs are archived there. You can listen online or download to your device and listen at your convenience. So, where are we? What are we going to do this week? Well, this is May the 3rd, first week of May. You know what we're going to call it? Big Promises Week. Big Promises. We're going to take Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and remind ourselves about the big promises God has made. Now, on Friday, as we have been doing, it's going to be our prayer time. We've had such wonderful times praying together. I'm just calling it the world's largest online prayer meeting. You can call in, and I'm happy to pray for you over the air, and so many people have done that. So look forward to that coming up on Friday. But this is Big Promises Week, and today we got a good one. Boy, do we have a good one. It's called You Are Never Alone. You are never alone. God's answer to fear. And we got a text. It's Hebrews 13, verse 5. We'll get to that in just a little bit. So set the scene this way. We all have burdens and concerns that keep us awake at night. What will tomorrow bring? Will our health hold up? Will we have a heart attack or a sudden stroke? Will someone we know test positive for COVID-19? Will we end up in a nursing home or maybe in a hospital? What about our kids? What if something happens to them? Who's going to take care of us in our old age? What about my job? Things are happening in the economy. How long is my job going to be there? Singles wonder if they'll ever marry. Married couples look at all the divorces and wonder if they're going to make it. Will we live to see our grandkids? We wonder where we're going to be in 10 years. And recent headlines don't help. Is it time to panic? Anxiety grips companies across the world. Russia warns of World War III. Food shortages, rising prices. We've been warning about this for years. And then this one, it's not over. COVID-19 cases are on the rise again in the U.S. And we'll just start right there. The COVID-19 pandemic reminds us we are not in charge. We never were. But the pandemic, which basically brought the world to a standstill, it reminded us we're not in charge. We are more vulnerable than we ever dreamed. No one imagined the global shutdown 2 years ago, but it happened. So that's why we're focusing on the big promises of God this week. In these uncertain days, we need to go back and spend some time thinking about the great promises God has made. So here are three truths that ought to encourage us. Number one, don't worry about tomorrow because God is already there. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's already there. We received a note from our friend Greg Hatterberg down at Dallas Seminary. Greg said that as he was praying for us, he felt the Lord saying to him, quote, "Don't worry, I've got this." That simple statement written, Greg had just kind of written it out in his little handwritten note. Don't worry, God says, I've got this. That brought huge comfort to my heart. We all need to remember in these tumultuous times that God's got this. Number two, God promises to be with you no matter what happens to you. Now, that's true today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and all the days after that. Friends, you cannot outlive God's mercy. We come and go, but His mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad about that? We're here for a while, then we just disappear. We show up, we step on the stage, we play our role, and then our time comes and we're gone. But God's mercy, it was here before we got here. It's here while we're here. And after we're gone, God's mercy endures forever. And number three, God has you on His heart this very moment. He will not forget you because He cannot forget you. To all of our fears, the Lord simply says, I am with you always. Now, that brings me to our text, Hebrews 13:5. He has said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Now, God knew, He understands, He knew we were going to doubt this promise. So He wrapped it up in five negatives in this verse. I'm talking about the Greek of this verse. He repeats two Greek words that mean no. There's two ou and me, and He repeats both of them. Then He adds another word that also means no. And the problem is when you've got a, what would that be, a quintuple negative? When you've got a quintuple negative in Greek, it's hard to bring out the proper emphasis in English. It's as if God is saying, I will never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. Absolutely not. But then there's this verse from the hymn, How Firm a Foundation, that perfectly catches the meaning. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Did you get that? I'll never, that's one. No, never, that's two and three. No, never, that's four and five. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Now, when Charles Spurgeon preached on this topic in London 130 years ago, he pointed out four examples out of many in the Bible where God said to someone, I am with you. So, in this message, I am simply following Mr. Spurgeon's outline. Four examples from the Bible. Number one, a familiar one. Jacob the cheater. Jacob the cheater. These are the words the Lord spoke to Jacob when he was running away from his problems. Genesis 28:15. God says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. You get that? I am with you. I will bring you back. I will not leave you. Background. Jacob has been on the road for 2 days. He's on the run, on the lam. He's getting out of Dodge. Been on the road for 2 days when he gets this message from God. He's running because he stole the inheritance from his brother Esau and then deceived his father, lied right to his face, deceived his father into giving him a blessing meant for his brother. That double deceit destroyed his family, enraged his brother, who wanted to kill him. His family now fractured. He runs for his life. That night, you remember the story, with a stone for a pillow, sleeping in the wilderness under the starry sky, Jacob had this amazing dream of angels coming and going on a ladder that stretched from earth to heaven. And, of course, this is where we get that wonderful spiritual, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. Well, look, until this moment, God had never spoken to Jacob directly. Did you know that? To his grandfather Abraham, yes, God spoke to him a number of times. To his father Isaac, yes, God spoke to Isaac. But to Jacob, through whom the promise would come, up until this moment, God has never spoken to Jacob directly. Now, I am sure on that night, 2 days away from home, on the run, running for his life, I'm sure the last thing Jacob expected that night, guilty, filled with fear, angst, remorse, regret, I am sure that night, the last thing he expected was the voice of the Lord. Hey, I got a question. It's a good one. Why would God speak to Jacob after what he had done to his father and his brother? And I think I know the answer. God meets him at the point of his desperation as he is leaving the promised land, running from his brother, running for his life, disgraced and guilty. Now, at this low moment, God comes and speaks to him. Aren't you glad stories like this are in the Bible? Though we wander away, though we make one foolish mistake after another, one dumb choice after another, though we drive our car into the ditch again and again and again, and finally, when we get to the end, you know, when you finally hit bottom, you got nothing to do. There's nothing else you can do once you hit bottom but to look up. Jacob's hit bottom now. He has destroyed his own family. While he sleeps, God comes with a dream, the angels of heaven ascending and descending from the on the ladder that stretched from earth to heaven. Now, remember this. God speaks to him. C.S. Lewis called pain God's megaphone to rouse a sleeping world. The Lord whispers in our pleasure, but he shouts in our pain. The truth of the matter is, I've said this to you before. It's a lot of fun to go to a party, but you don't learn anything from the parties you go to. I've been to many Super Bowl parties. I've had a great time. I've had chips and dips and soft drinks, and I've watched the pageantry and all the stuff and the cheered for my team if I cared at all and hung out with my friends. Been to a bunch of Super Bowl parties. Have never learned anything of value. Never gained anything important. I had a good time, but never gained anything great. But, oh, to walk into the hospital room of somebody who's facing triple bypass surgery, to walk into the room of somebody who has got a brain tumor and just hanging on, to go to the funeral home and talk to the family. Oh, God speaks in those moments so clearly. The Lord whispers in our pleasure. You ought to enjoy your pleasure, but understand he shouts in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone, and God has used the distress and discouragement and the fear and the anxiety and the guilt, the deep guilt Jacob felt. Now, at last, Jacob is ready to listen to the Lord. And when the painful truth finally catches up with him, he has nowhere to go. Why did he cheat? Maybe he reasoned this way. If God were here, I wouldn't have to do things this way, but he's not here, so I got to take care of myself. I don't know if that's what he thought, but I think that probably does explain the deceit, the double deception, and all of that. You know, when you think God isn't with you, when you think he's forgotten you, when you think you got to take matters into your own hands, first of all, that's a big mistake. It's a big mistake because leaving God out never improves anything. Forgetting that God is with you leads you down the wrong path all the time. So listen. God now is about to speak to Jacob. God's about to give him the words he needs to hear. And fundamentally, he's going to say to him, "You have really blown it, son, but I have not forgotten you. I am still with you." So now, I want you to stay tuned because we're going to talk about Jacob and then three other examples. And we're just going to encourage each other today about the goodness of the Lord. Stay tuned. You're listening to Keep Believing on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
The communist government has spoken. There's no room for Christianity within the walls of China. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and the man named Katsu is an evangelical pastor, a little more than 50. He serves outside of Beijing. I won't identify his village. But I would guess he has been beaten and jailed 25 times over the course of his ministry. Most recently, they beat him so severely he could not get up for a week. They let him go and told him to never speak of Jesus again. About a week later, a knock came on his door. He was somewhat reluctant to open it, but he found Hai, the bitter atheist interrogator who beat him terribly, had one question that burned in his heart all week long. Why were you at such peace when we were beating you? So Katsu would open his door, open his Mandarin Bible, and lead this bitter atheist to faith in Christ. Together, they've witnessed thousands coming to Christ who all need Bibles in China. At $5 a Bible, would you call 800-YES-WORD? 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, has come out with a warning that non-invasive prenatal screening often involves false results, inappropriate use, and inappropriate interpretation of results. It further warned women that producers of these tests are making claims they're reliable and highly accurate, offering peace of mind for patients. None of that is true. Quite the contrary. Earlier this year, I told you about a New York Times report that these tests are widely used but have an average failure rate of a whopping 85%. The FDA press release stated parents were making inappropriate health care decisions regarding their pregnancies. We're talking about abortions. Women are killing their unborn babies based on fraud. There needs to be accountability.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
And welcome back to Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. Glad to have you with us. I hope your Tuesday is going well. Hey, this is Big Promises Week at Keep Believing. Today, tomorrow, and Thursday, we're looking at the big promises of God. I mean, we need to encourage ourselves. My wife and I have a time of prayer in the mornings, and lately our prayer list for our friends in various difficulties, various struggles, various challenges in America and around the world, it's just gotten so long. And the world is a dangerous, unstable, unpredictable place. So from time to time, maybe all the time, we need to go back and remind ourselves of some of the big promises of God. So today, you are never alone. God's answer to fear from Hebrews 13, verse 5. And we're talking about four examples of people in the Bible or groups in the Bible to whom God said, I will never leave you. Number one is Jacob the cheater. He's out in the desert. He's running. He's on the lam. He's blown up his family. He has cheated his brother and lied to his father, and he has blown up in his face. And now, you remember, Rebecca said, you got to leave, son. And so for his life, he is running away. And in the midst of the guilt and fear and despair and self-loathing and anger and all of that, he has a dream in the desert in the night, you know, with his head on the pillow, on the stone, a stone for a pillow. He has the dream, and the angels are coming up and down the ladder from earth to heaven. That's in itself a wonderful revelation. Then God speaks. For the first time, Jacob hears God's voice directly. And here's what God says. Here is God's message. He says, Jacob, I am nearer to you than you think I am. I was with you when you tricked Esau and when you tricked your father. I am with you when you are running for your life. Everywhere you go, I will go with you. Now, truly, that is a paraphrase, but that's what God said. you wonder if I'm with you. Son, you have no idea how close I am to you. And it's really quite a thought. When you tricked your brother, I was there. I saw it. When you lied to your father, I saw it. Now you're running away from your problems, and God says, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. And when the time comes, I'm going to bring you back home. You see, at this point, Jacob feels guilty about his past, fearful of the future, and very uncertain in the present. To all of that, God simply says, think about this, his whole answer to his guilt, his fear, his uncertainty, God simply says, I will be with you. It's a total solution to guilt, fear, and anxiety. We all need to learn there is no place we can go where God is not already there. So that's example number one, Jacob the cheater. Now, here's example number two. We run the tape ahead a little bit. Israel, the nation. Israel, the terrified. So the scene now shifts. We're hundreds of years later to the Jewish people as they gather on the eastern side of the Jordan River. This is late in the book of Deuteronomy, late in the Pentateuch. Moses is now an old man. He's about to die, and he knows it. He also knows God's already told him, because of your disobedience, striking that rock in anger, not doing what I told you to do, you're going to see the promised land from Mount Pisgah, but I am not going to let you enter the promised land. You're going to die not far away, but you're not going to be able to go in. What it means is the people he's led for all these years, somebody else is going to have to lead him. It's going to be Joshua, but Moses, the old man, knows these people are going to face enemies as they enter Canaan. So Moses gives this amazing promise in Deuteronomy 31:6. Love this verse. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Okay, just that one phrase there. When Moses says, don't be afraid, don't be terrified or afraid of them. Who's the of them? Well, he's talking about the pagan nations surrounding the Jews. That is, it's not going to be any kind of cakewalk. You're going to cross the Jordan River. You're not going to get very far. You're going to run up against the big walls of Jericho. So who's the them? Well, that list is extensive. It includes the Hivites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Moabites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Perizzites, the Gergesenes, and the Philistines. Now, friends, that's a daunting list of bad guys. I recently read a book about Winston Churchill called The Splendid and the Vile. It focuses only on the first year when Churchill was prime minister. This is early in World War II, 1940, that first year when the Nazis seemed unstoppable and it seemed as if Hitler's dreams were going to come true. He was going to conquer and own all of Europe, and it seemed as if the eventual destruction of England was inevitable. Hitler, so far, you see, was undefeated. His armies were rolling almost unimpeded across Europe. So in his first speech as prime minister, Churchill spoke with brutal honesty. I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. The following years would prove the truth of his words. Lots of blood, unending toil, many tears, and an ocean of sweat. You see, the Israelites faced a math problem. We'll just say it that way, math problem. Look, if you stacked up all those armies, the Hivites, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Edomites, Moabites, Jebusites, Perizzites, Girgashites, and the Philistines, if you just added all those up, there's just too many bad guys. There are bad guys everywhere. There's no way they could defeat all those bad guys. They were doomed to defeat. But listen, the question is always not who's against you, but who's for you. Not who's on the other side, but who's on your side. Not who are you fighting against, but who are you fighting with. Listen, if God is with you, you cannot lose. It's as simple as that. Yes, there will be blood and toil and tears and sweat. But when you fight with God on your side, you cannot lose. That's the message to the terrified people of God. So first Jacob, the cheater, and then Israel, the terrified. Okay, but Joshua, number three, Joshua. I mean, he's the man who's got to lead them into the promised land. And for all these years, he's been by Moses' side. So here's what we're going to do. Joshua, the fearful, that's the third example. So run the clock forward a few weeks. Moses is dead now. Joshua now leads the people of Israel. And wow, you see, they still got to cross the Jordan River. And from the east side of the Jordan River, when the sun is shining the right way, you could look across to the other side and you could see reflected against the sun. You could see the walls of Jericho, the forbidding, awesome walls of the city of Jericho. In other words, Joshua knew, as soon as I got to get across, I got to deal with Jericho, and what are we going to do about that? So you got to cross the Jordan River. You immediately, or almost immediately, you got to go into battle. There's going to be Jericho and Ai, and there's going to be Gibeah, and then there's going to be this long series of battles, a central campaign and a southern campaign and a northern campaign. It's going to take 7 years of hard battle to finish all this. So the question becomes very personal. Is Joshua up to the challenge? So this is what God said to his man, Joshua 1:5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. This is what God said. I will be with you. Just as I was with Moses, I will not leave you or abandon you. Now, as we think about this stupendous promise, please do not overlook one little phrase here. As I was with Moses. Now, Joshua, of course, I mean, he'd been his right-hand man for many years. He was Moses' hand-picked successor. He was Moses' man, and he was God's man. He had been with Moses from the beginning. I think he knew Moses back in Egypt. He was with him at the crossing of the Red Sea, and he was with Moses at Mount Sinai. Remember, there's this one moment where Moses and Joshua go up the mountain into a certain place. He leaves Joshua behind, and he goes up, Moses does, to talk to God face to face. I mean, he was there at Mount Sinai, and then all the stuff about the golden calf. Joshua was there with Moses when that happened in the bitter water. He was there in the manna and the quail and the rebellion of the sons of Korah. I mean, Joshua was there. Oh, okay, roll the clock back just a little bit. When Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Well, when Pharaoh said no, Moses said it again, let my people go. No, let my people go. Moses says, Lord, we got a little situation down here. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. I got it covered. Don't worry. Just don't worry. I got it covered. And so God sends the 10 plagues. God hardened Pharaoh's heart so he would not show mercy. Boils and frogs and darkness and hail and water turned to blood. And Pharaoh would still not relent. And finally, you get to the last of the 10 plagues. One terrible night, you remember the story, the death angel passed over the land, taking the life of every firstborn son in Egypt, so much so that there was wailing, the sound of wailing, cries, screams from every Egyptian home. But in the land of Goshen, among the people of God, everything was quiet. Because remember, Remember what the angel said. Take a lamb and sacrifice the lamb and take the blood of the one-year-old lamb without defect. And with the hyssop, take it and dip it in the blood. And then take that blood and splash it on the doorpost, right? And when I see the blood, the angel said, what? I will pass over you, which, of course, is the foundation for the Jewish celebration of Passover. It continues into the New Testament. Christ is our Passover lamb. Okay, look, all of that. Joshua was there when it happened. When the people of God were trapped at the Red Sea, Moses stretched out his staff and the waters parted. And, well, at least I'm old enough to say that when I talk about this, I can see Charlton Heston, you know, with the staff in the movie, the Ten Commandments, you know, when the water goes back. I mean, wow, that's a moment. Well, the waters part and they walk across on dry ground. And then, look, Moses goes up on the mountain and talks to God face to face. And apparently, that never happened, not like that. It never happened like that to Abraham, and it never happened like that to David, even though David was a man after God's own heart. It never happened with the prophets and the kings. God spoke to Moses face to face. Moses comes down the mountain with the Ten Commandments written in stone, inscribed by the finger of God. Miracle after miracle happened when Moses was alive. For 40 years in the wilderness, their shoes never wore out. For 40 years, they never ran out of food. For 40 years in the wilderness, with all the trouble and all that back-talking, complaining, and bickering. I mean, why'd you bring us out here? I wish we could go back to Egypt. At least we had, you know, leeks and onions and garlics back there out here, and get tired of the manna and the quail, the people complaining. I mean, you just read the Pentateuch. And the people are complaining all the time. It doesn't matter. For 40 years, their shoes never wore out. They never ran out of food. They never lost a battle because of Moses. What a man. So now he's gone. I do not blame Joshua for feeling inadequate. How do you follow D.L. Moody or Spurgeon? How do you replace a legend? Question, will God be with Joshua as he was with Moses? And the answer is yes. Why? Because God said, I will never leave you. Friends, that is a wonderful promise. Now, most of us know the antiphonal chant that goes like this. The pastor says, God is good. Congregation says, all the time. Pastor says, all the time. And the congregation says, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Now, wouldn't nearly all of us have done that in a service? Now, I happen to read somewhere that that chant started in Africa, specifically in the churches of Nigeria. So in one of my sermon emails, I mentioned that. And a woman in Lagos, Nigeria, wrote me with an additional bit of information I did not know. She said, it's true. We do say that in our churches. But we add something after we say it. Everyone then says in unison, I am a witness. And that's really good. Think of it. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I am a witness. You know, we would do well here in America maybe to add that last line, I am a witness. God is not just good all the time, and all the time God is good. That's not just a theoretical truth. But if you are a child of God, you ought to be able to say, I am a witness. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good, I am a witness. Good, powerful, biblical. Friends, that's the deeper meaning of the promise God made to Joshua. It's not the promise of an easy road, unlimited victory, and no tears. After all, Joshua is a book of battles. And God is saying, you got to fight for the land. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be instantaneous. You got to go fight for the land I am giving you, but I will go with you as you go. So friends, we're just thinking now about how important this little promise is. I will never leave you. What he said to Jacob, what he said to Israel, what he said to Joshua. Friends, he says it to you and to me. No matter who you are or where you are or what you're going through right now, our God says to you, hang on, friend, I'm coming to your aid. Hang on, don't give up. I will never leave you. Now, we've got one more example to come, then we'll wrap this all up. So I want you to stay tuned after the break. You're listening to Keep Believing on American Family Radio. We're going to get to that fourth one soon.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us. When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
And welcome back to Keep Believing. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. My name is Ray Pritchard. Just a reminder, we do have a podcast. It's easy for you to listen to this program anytime you want. Just go to afr.net. At the top of that page, afr.net, there's a little link that says podcast. Click on it and you'll see this huge, long drop-down menu of all the different programs we have here on the network. Come on down to Keep Believing. Click on that. All of our programs are archived right there. You can listen online to any of them or download any of them to your own device to listen at your convenience. I hope you'll check it out. Now, this is Big Promises Week. On Keep Believing today, tomorrow, and Thursday, looking at the big promises of God. Different one each day. We just need to encourage ourselves. Not just the promises, but the big promises of God. Here's a big one. It's where we're starting. You are never alone. God's answer to fear from Hebrews 13:5. So we're looking at four examples, four times when God says to someone or some group of people, I will never leave you. Number one, Jacob the cheater. Number two, Israel the terrified. Number three, Joshua the fearful. Now we're going to run the clock ahead again. Number four, Solomon the timid. The timid. King David, he was growing older. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord in Jerusalem. But the Lord told him, no, you can't do it because David was a man of blood. God's house must be built by a man of peace. Instead of arguing, David accepted God's decree. He called on his son Solomon to build the Lord's temple. Here is a father's encouragement to his son. This is what David said to his son in 1 Chronicles 28:20. Be strong and courageous. I love this. And do the work. Do the work. Lay the foundation. Get that temple built. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God. Oh, that's great. Not just the Lord God, but my God. He is with you. He will not leave you or abandon you until all the work for the service of the Lord's house is finished. In other words, go ahead and get started. You may be scared or intimidated, but just get started. Son, God's going to give you everything you need, and he'll be with you, and he'll see you all the way through, and that temple will be dedicated to the Lord. But now here's the thing. That's a heavy load to lay on a young man. Solomon may have been the wisest man on earth, but look who he followed, his father, the man after God's own heart. Joshua followed Moses, and that was hard enough, but Moses wasn't his father. It is hard to be the son of a famous man. A lot of pressure there, a lot of expectations, a lot of inner expectations just comes of being the son of a famous man. You see, David was a natural leader, a gifted poet. He was a mighty warrior. He unified the tribes. He inspired the nation. There's no question. No question. He was the greatest king Israel ever had. The question is, how do you follow a man like that? So we get a little glimpse of the pressure Solomon faced when David asked the leaders of the nation to support his son. Okay, this is 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Got it? 1 Chronicles 29, 1. He's already encouraged his son, but I think David knew. So he said, my son Solomon, God has chosen him alone, is young and inexperienced. Okay, that's interesting. My son is young and inexperienced. That Hebrew word for inexperienced can also mean tender or delicate or timid. We don't think of Solomon that way, but that's what David said. Timid. Clearly, David wondered if his son was up to the task. And I want to say, I'd be timid too. I'd be fearful too. I'd be worried too. What if you started and couldn't finish? What if you started and then the bad guys came and attacked you? What if you started and it just ended up looking awful, embarrassing? I mean, question to you, my friends. Who out there feels like you are not enough? Who feels like it's Tuesday and I can't do this? I just cannot do this. I can't do what's in front of me this week. Who out there has imposter syndrome? You feel secretly like you're a fraud waiting to be uncovered. Oh, friend, I've got some good news for you. This is God's word to you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will finish the work he called you to do. Here's some really great good news. Great good news. Everything God has for us is contained in these simple words. I will never leave you. Whatever you need from the Lord, whatever it is, he's going to supply it because he will never leave you. If you feel inadequate, and who among us does not? If you feel inadequate, that's okay. That's actually a good thing because when you feel inadequate, you depend even more on the Lord. It's these cocksure people the people who are arrogant and know-it-all and say, don't worry about it. I got this. No. I want to say God's got this. I'm not sure whether I got it or not, but God's got this. So what the real meaning of all this is, whatever you have to do this week, say it another way, whatever is God's will for you to do this week, he's going to give you the time, the energy, he's going to give you the motivation, he's going to give you the power, he's going to clear the way, he's going to arrange the circumstances so that in the end, what he wants you to do this week, you're going to be able to do. I had a question. So how do we really know? I mean, how do we really know this is true? Pastor Ray, I hear your voice, but how do we know that what you're saying is true? Well, there's a lot of different ways to answer that question. Maybe we should just remind ourselves of what God has done in the past. I mean, you ought to go back and think about what God did for the men and women of the Bible. We've rehearsed that already. We've been talking about that. We ought to remind ourselves what God has done. Now, it's good to remember what happened at the Red Sea. It's good to remember what's written in the Bible. Those stories, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came a-tumbling down. It's good to remind ourselves of that. But just think personally, your own life. Just think about the last 2 years. Has God brought you through deep waters, dark nights, and bitter tears? If he did not leave you then, why would he leave you now? Think of all the prayers God has already answered. Is all that now going to be wasted? Friend, write it down. God never starts anything he does not finish. I do remember some years ago taking a trip to Africa and landed in an African country. And on the way from the airport to where we were staying on this, what passed, I guess, for a freeway, there were these buildings. And the only thing I noticed on both sides of the road, there were tons of buildings, half-built, unfinished buildings. They were kind of overgrown and weeds around them, neglected. It looked like nobody had touched those buildings in a long, long time. And I asked, what's all this about? Well, our host said, the government ran out of money. The brick and steel skeletons meant the government started them but could not finish them. Friend, that never happens with God. What he starts, he finishes. And that's true of you and me. He has not brought us this far to leave us now. God's honor, his character, depends on him finishing the good work he began in us. So hold on to this truth. God will never let you go. So I want to remind you one final time of the teaching of Hebrews 13:5. Those five negatives, ou, me, those two different little Greek particles that both mean no. It's repeated twice. So it's ou and may, not in that order, but they're there. Four negatives. And there's another negative in the Greek that is the fifth one. Okay. So five negatives that guarantee our salvation. As the songwriter said, that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. You're never alone. You're never abandoned. You are never on your own. So you think about these stories and we ask, what is it that we should take away from all this? If like Jacob, you are guilty, take heart. God will never leave you. If like Israel, you are terrified, take heart. God will never leave you. If like Joshua, you feel unqualified, take heart. God will never leave you. If like Solomon, you are timid, take heart. God will never leave you. Think about it this way. He's not only with you now. He's way up the road ahead of you. He is the God who goes before his people. I read an article a while back about the prevenient grace of God. Prevenient basically has the idea of going before. God goes before us. And in the Old Testament, that's repeated a number of times, that God goes before his people. So this is an amazing thought. Think about it. Are you worried about next week? Forget it. He's already there. What about that doctor's appointment? Sleep well. He's already there. What about that tough decision? Fear not. He's already there. It would be enough if God walked with you through the events of life. And that's wonderful. That's an amazing thought that the God of the universe is with us wherever we go. But he does much more than that. He is the God who goes before his people. He goes ahead of you, clearing the way, arranging the details, so that when you get there, when you get to tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and the day after that and next Tuesday and the Tuesday after that, when you get to June and when you get to July, when you finally make it to September or January or wherever you want to go into the future, our God is already there. You know what the prevenient grace of God means? It means he's at work in the future while we live in the present. Our God was with us yesterday. He's with us today. He'll be with us tomorrow. That's what it means to say, I will never leave you. Many of us need this truth right now. I know I do. I did. Got to tell you, I passed over one part of Jacob's story, so I could mention it now. When Jacob awoke from his dream, he exclaimed, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Genesis 28:16. How typical of us. We think the Lord has forgotten us, but we are the ones who have forgotten him. Where is God when we need him? He's where he's always been, but we didn't know it. You can run away from God to the other side of the earth. And when you get off the plane, he will meet you at baggage claim. Relatively few people meet God on Sunday morning. Now, I was a pastor for many, many years in L.A. and Dallas and Chicago. Saw a lot of people meet God on Sunday morning. But that's not necessarily the number one place where people literally meet God. I think you're more likely to meet God on the bed of affliction, or when you lose your job, or when your kids are sick, or when your friends betray you, or when your marriage collapses. You're more likely to meet him after the accident than during the coffee hour on Sunday morning. And so often it is, we don't pay attention to the Lord until tragedy strikes. And then at last, beaten and battered and bruised metaphorically, if not literally, we look up to heaven and say, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." That brings us back to the great promise, you are never alone. And so let me tell you how I learned this. Soon after graduating from seminary, many years ago, Marlene and I moved to Southern California, where I became the pastor of a small church in suburban Los Angeles, and spent about 4.5 wonderful years there. In the beginning, the church was so small, only 40, 45 people. You know, pretty much had to do almost everything. Marlene played the piano while I led the music and I preached the sermon. And just to make it more interesting, I also helped teach a class of 5th and 6th grade boys. One weekend, we went to a retreat at a camp, a Christian camp, in the mountains above San Bernardino. I have forgotten everything about that retreat except for this. The speaker wanted to impress upon the youngsters that God would never leave them. So he had us hold up our right hands, and starting with the thumb, he had us repeat this phrase, touching a different finger with each word. And you can't see me right now, but friends, I have my right hand up right now. So, I will never leave you. Thumb, and then that first finger, middle finger, fourth, fifth, just touch it. I will never leave you. Try that right now. Now, if you're driving, do not try that right now. But otherwise, if you're free to, try that right now. Hold up your right hand. Touch your fingers as you say, I will never leave you. Now, how powerful is that simple exercise? It has been 40 years, and I still remember it. Friends, build your life on this truth. God has said, wherever you go, I will go with you. So what's up today? God's going to be with you. What have you got later today? God will be with you. What are you facing tonight? God will be with you. That leads me to the simple conclusion. Christians ought to be the calmest people on earth because we know the Lord and he holds the future in his hands. He was with us yesterday. Today, he'll be with us and tomorrow. Chin up, child of God. Stop staring in the soup. Pull those shoulders back. Put a smile on your face because you are never alone. Lord, forgive us for doubting your presence. Thank you for always being there just when we need you most. So that's the first big promise. You are never alone, but come back tomorrow. There's another good one, another one on Thursday. Thanks for listening today. The program is called Keep Believing. My name is Ray Pritchard. Stay tuned for today's issues coming up after the break. You're listening to American Family Radio. Have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.